Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Politically Incorrect Guide to Economics is a polemical nonfiction book by Thomas J. DiLorenzo, part of Regnerus' Politically Incorrect Guide series. Written from a free market and Austrian school perspective, it argues that economics should be understood through the lens of individual choice, market coordination, and the long-run consequences of government intervention, rather than presenting economics as a technical academic field detached from everyday life. The book frames it as a practical discipline about how wealth is created, how prices convey information, and why political efforts to manage markets often produce shortages, distortions, and unintended harm. Its purpose is both explanatory and argumentative, to challenge conventional policy assumptions, while defending capitalism and limited government as the most reliable basis for prosperity. The book is aimed at readers who want a clear, combative alternative to mainstream economic narratives, and who are interested in a conservative, libertarian critique of modern economic policy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, free markets as the core mechanism of economic coordination. A central theme of the book is that markets are not a chaotic alternative to planning, but the primary system through which scarce resources are coordinated. DiLorenzo presents prices, profits, and loss as signals that emerge from voluntary exchange and help producers respond to real consumer demand. This perspective treats market order as an information process, not simply a moral preference for private enterprise. The practical implication is that economic knowledge is dispersed across millions of decisions. So attempts to replace markets with bureaucratic control usually ignore crucial local information. By emphasizing spontaneous coordination, the book argues that prosperity depends less on expert direction than on allowing individuals to trade, invest, and adjust freely. This also explains the book's repeated criticism of policies that interfere with price signals, since distortions in prices can lead to misallocation, waste, and reduced output. Secondly, government intervention as a source of distortion and crisis. The book consistently argues that state intervention is not a corrective to market failure, but a frequent cause of economic failure. DiLorenzo links regulation, subsidies, monetary manipulation, and welfare state expansion to distorted incentives that weaken productivity and reduce accountability. In this framework, governments rarely possess the knowledge or neutrality required to fine-tune complex economies. Instead, political decision-making tends to favor concentrated interests, short-term gains, and visible interventions over the slower discipline of market competition. The result is often higher costs, dependency, and structural imbalances that are then mislabeled as failures of capitalism. This topic is important because it reveals the book's causal logic. Many economic problems attributed to greed or market instability are presented as consequences of earlier policy. Interference. The argument is not just anti-government in a general sense. It is built around the claim that intervention changes behavior in predictable ways and usually makes outcomes worse rather than better. Thirdly, Austrian school influence and skepticism toward mainstream economics. The book's intellectual style is rooted in the Austrian school, which is known for its emphasis on human action, subjective value, and the limits of central planning. DiLorenzo uses this tradition to push back against the idea that economics can be treated like a controllable machine governed by policy levers. Instead, he stresses uncertainty, entrepreneurial discovery, and the importance of individual judgment. This outlook makes the book skeptical of abstract models that assume perfect information or smooth governmental fine-tuning, because those models may ignore how actual people adapt to changing conditions. The Austrian influence also helps explain the book's moral language about freedom and coercion. Economic policy is not only judged by efficiency, but also by whether it expands or restricts voluntary choice. For readers, this creates a framework that is simultaneously analytical and ideological, since the book presents economic theory as inseparable from a defense of liberty against political management. Fourthly, a conservative and libertarian critique of socialism and crony capitalism, although the book is strongly anti-socialist. It also argues that capitalism is often damaged when business and government become too closely linked. This makes the analysis broader than a simple defense of corporate power. DiLorenzo distinguishes market capitalism, where success depends on serving consumers, from crony capitalism, where firms benefit from political privilege, regulation, or subsidy. That distinction matters because it prevents readers from equating all large-scale wealth or corporate influence with free markets. At the same time, the book presents socialism as a system that replaces consumer choice with political allocation, weakening incentives, and reducing efficiency. The critique is therefore two-sided. It attacks both collectivist economic systems and mixed systems that preserve private ownership while politicizing outcomes. This gives the book a distinct ideological profile within the genre. since it is not merely pro-business, but explicitly skeptical of state-created favoritism and any arrangement that blurs market discipline. Lastly, Irreverent Polemics as a Teaching Strategy for Economic Ideas, the politically incorrect guide to economics, is designed not only to inform, but also to provoke, using an irreverent tone to challenge what the author sees as entrenched economic myths. That style is central to the book's identity because it makes the argument accessible to readers who may not be drawn to academic economics texts. The rhetoric is direct, oppositional, and intentionally combative, which helps the book function as a popular corrective rather than a neutral textbook. This approach has two effects. It increases readability and makes abstract policy debates feel immediate. But it also means the book often argues from a clear ideological position instead of presenting a balanced survey. Readers should therefore treat it as a viewpoint-driven synthesis rather than an introductory neutral overview. Its value lies in how it reframes familiar issues such as inflation, regulation, and wealth creation through a market-first lens that is easy to grasp and difficult to ignore. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a forceful free market critique of modern economic thinking rather than a neutral survey of competing schools. It will appeal to conservatives, libertarians, and general readers who are skeptical of government intervention and want a compact argument for why markets, prices, and voluntary exchange matter. Its main practical benefit is that it helps readers recognize the incentives and trade-offs behind economic policy, especially the ways in which regulation, subsidies, and political management can distort outcomes. Its intellectual benefit is that it introduces the Austrian school perspective in an accessible, popular format, making abstract ideas about coordination and intervention easier to follow, compared with many books in the same genre. It stands out for its combative tone and its willingness to connect economic theory to ideological criticism of socialism, crony capitalism, and progressive policy. It is less useful as a balanced academic primer than as a clear statement of a market-centered worldview, which is precisely what gives it its distinctive place in the series. If you would like to support Thomas J. DiLorenzo, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.